The Caribbean sun beats down on Mitch Rapp as he positions his beach chair with strategic precision, scanning new arrivals at the resort while his new bride, Anna, sunbathes beside him. Their honeymoon in St. Lucia represents a rare moment of normalcy for America's top counterterrorism operative, a man with bounties on his head from terrorist organizations worldwide. When Anna playfully removes her bikini top with a flirtatious invitation to their cabana, it's a precious moment of intimacy between two people desperately trying to carve out an ordinary life in extraordinary circumstances. But paradise is fleeting in Rapp's world. While he's enjoying tropical cocktails, Navy SEALs are being ambushed in the Philippines, their mission compromised by a leak from within the American government. The timing is no coincidence. Enemies have learned to strike when key operatives are distracted. As Rapp watches Anna sleeping peacefully, unaware their honeymoon is about to be cut short, he contemplates the price of his chosen path. How many moments of happiness will be sacrificed on the altar of national security? The ringing phone confirms what he already knows. Duty calls, and the cost will be measured in the quiet disappointment in Anna's eyes when he tells her they need to leave. 7 dead Navy SEALs, 3 critically wounded, one of the highest casualty counts in recent special operations history, not from enemy tactics or bad intelligence, but from betrayal within America's own government. The compromise followed a predictable path. Amanda Petrie, a senior State Department official, informed Ambassador Cox about the classified mission despite presidential orders. Cox shared details with Philippine President Quirino, who told General Moro, unaware Moro received $50,000 monthly from Abu Sayyaf for intelligence. When Mitch Rapp confronts Petrie during an emergency meeting, he presents damning evidence, surveillance photos, intercepted emails, and bank transfers, before slamming photographs of the dead SEALs onto the table. "You and your fucking diplomatic arrogance got them killed," he declares. As FBI agents lead Petrie away to face charges, the message is clear. In national security, bureaucratic negligence costs lives. Decisions made in Washington offices end lives in distant jungles. David defies terrorist stereotypes, an educated Palestinian with doctor sisters who respects women, reads extensively, and demonstrates remarkable strategic intelligence. After rescuing a Palestinian girl from Iraqi General Hamza's assault, he delivers poetic justice, removing the general's tongue, filling his mouth with counterfeit money, and castrating him. His sophisticated plan manipulates all sides of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to achieve statehood through controlled chaos. His alliance with Saudi Prince Omar is purely pragmatic. David despises Omar's decadence but needs his funding, while Omar views David as a useful tool for his anti-American agenda. David's moral complexity makes him compelling. He justifies assassinating the Palestinian UN ambassador and orchestrating a Washington bombing as necessary sacrifices. When civilians die in Hebron after his actions trigger an Israeli overreaction, he repeats, "Peace did not come without a price," yet appears genuinely disturbed by a dead infant. His humanitarian impulses, alongside willingness to sacrifice innocence, presents a calculating strategist fighting for justice through unjust means, a worthy adversary for Mitch Rapp. On paper, the CIA and Mossad are allies. In reality, they engage in a sophisticated chess game of partial truths and strategic deception that reveals how international cooperation actually works. Ben Friedman, Mossad's bull-like director general, embodies Israeli intelligence's ruthless pragmatism. After orchestrating a civilian-heavy attack in Hebron, he misleads CIA Director Irene Kennedy, claiming they targeted a bomb factory despite satellite evidence showing otherwise. When pressed, he admits they acted on intelligence about a terrorist meeting, disregarding civilian casualties. Kennedy maintains a delicate balance, extracting information without direct confrontation. She knows Friedman keeps files on everyone and would rationalize any action to protect Israel. This mutual wariness defines their relationship, each calculating what to reveal and withhold. When President Hayes learns of Friedman's deception, he orders Kennedy to investigate Israel's secrets. Kennedy leverages American satellite evidence of the Hebron attack to force Israeli cooperation, demonstrating how intelligence agencies use information as currency, with threatened exposure often more powerful than military action. "You volunteered!" Anna shouts upon discovering Mitch's gunshot wound proof he'd participated in a dangerous operation after promising to stay in a planning role. This confrontation reveals their fundamental tension, Rapp's instinct for action versus Anna's need for security and honesty. When she punches him and storms away, it shows how even love struggles to bridge their different worldviews. Their conflict embodies the classic struggle between professional duty and personal happiness. The conflict extends beyond home when Anna forms an unexpected alliance with Irene Kennedy at a White House dinner. Kennedy initially scolds Anna for questioning Rapp's whereabouts, but softens when Anna admits her fear that one day he won't come back. Kennedy offers a compromise, answering Anna's questions in the future, but only off the record. This arrangement acknowledges Anna's right to information while respecting national security limits, reflecting the reality faced by intelligence families where complete transparency is impossible, but total secrecy is unbearable. The novel's climax demonstrates Rapp's philosophy of justice, direct, personal, and uncompromising. When confronting Prince Omar in Cannes, there are no courts or diplomatic niceties, only accountability enforced at gunpoint. Rapp kills Omar's bodyguard instantly, then addresses the terrified prince in Arabic. When Omar denies involvement in Abdul's assassination, Rapp shoots both his knees to extract truth. Under duress, Omar confesses, declaring, "I should be crown prince." Rapp executes him with a single bullet to the forehead, identifying and eliminating the threat without bureaucratic interference. The justice extends beyond Omar. When Rapp and Kennedy later present evidence to Crown Prince Faisal, his simple "thank you" acknowledges American discretion in exchange for Saudi cooperation. This approach prioritizes results over process, effectiveness over legal formalities. In a world where terrorists exploit legal protections, Rapp embodies the uncomfortable truth that sometimes justice requires stepping outside traditional frameworks, creating tension between security needs and democratic values at the heart of America's counterterrorism dilemma. The novel concludes with a bittersweet victory. The Paris Peace Summit shows diplomatic progress, yet Rapp remains skeptical, believing they'll produce a document claiming peace without achieving the reality. His pessimism stems from encounters with extremists whose sole goal is Israel's destruction. When Kennedy and Nash discuss Rapp's future in the epilogue, Nash worries he'll end like Stan Hurley, dying alone and bitter. Kennedy's knowing smile and response, "He's a survivor," reveals much about both men's sacrifices. Rapp survives not just assassination attempts, but the psychological burden of impossible choices. Deciding who lives and dies, sacrificing relationships for security. His marriage collapses under secrets and absences, yet he maintains a balance between effectiveness and humanity. America needs warriors like Rapp, who operate in shadows, making morally ambiguous choices that allow diplomats to pursue peace from positions of strength. Their personal cost, broken relationships, moral injury, represents an unseen tax on security. This vigilance has no endpoint, requiring continuous adaptation while maintaining the moral clarity to distinguish necessary actions from vengeful ones.